Q106.7 weather.
Here's your KQNK forecast. Bright sunshine expected today with daytime highs approaching 71. North winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Lows around 33. Tonight, clear skies. Mainly clear tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 67. Temps well above average Thursday and Friday with highs in the low 70s. Looking at the long range, 69 Saturday, 60 Sunday, and 53 on Monday. From the Weatherology Weather Center, I'm Staff Meteorologist Laura Lockwood. Currently 67.
This Kansas Information Network update is brought to you by Eaton Roofing and Exteriors.
Hi, I'm Felicia Rolfe. Here are today's headlines from 12 News. A bill aimed at reopening the government on its way to the House. The Senate voted last night to pass a bill funding the government through January 30th. Senators Jerry Moran and Roger Marshall voted yes. A Rose Hill woman will spend nearly 18 years in prison for the death of her adopted daughter. A Butler County judge handed down that sentence yesterday to Christina Schroer. She pleaded no contest to second-degree murder in the death of her adopted daughter. The U.S. Geological Survey reports a small earthquake in Ellsworth County. It happened just before 6 p.m. last night, northeast of Wilson. So far, we haven't heard reports of damage. It's the sixth small earthquake in that area within the last 2 weeks. In Wichita, Felicia Rolfe, 12 News.
You're listening to the Kansas Information Network.
Celebrate this 2026 holiday season by launching your family and friends out of this world at Blast Off Bay Indoor Water Park, connected to the Hampton Inn in Goddard, Kansas, where it's always 84 degrees and the thrills never end. Our biggest Black Friday sales are landing soon, perfect for gifts or to make a splash all winter long. Grab epic discounts on spring break passes, winter break tickets, and more. Visit blastoffbay.com before they're gone.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
I'm Joanna with your KQNK News, brought to you by the Norton County Hospital, providing the best care right here at home. Kansas Senator Jerry Moran says the Senate has taken a major step towards reopening the federal government and bringing new investments home to Kansas. After weeks of gridlock, lawmakers approved an appropriations package that includes funding for defense, agriculture, and veterans programs, along with a short-term spending bill to keep the entire government running through January 30, 2026. The measure now heads to the U.S. House for approval. For Kansas, the bill includes millions in new federal support for military bases and community projects. At Fort Riley, the package funds a new $26 million air traffic control tower, a $5.5 million upgrade to the intermodal rail yard security system, and $2.6 million to improve the base's staging area, all designed to help the 1st Infantry Division deploy more efficiently. Fort Leavenworth will receive $8 million to build a new fire station and another $900,000 to update an aging facility that's been used well past its intended lifespan. Beyond the state's military installations, the bill provides $4.2 million for long-term water management in the Rattlesnake Creek watershed, aimed at supporting sustainable agriculture, and $1.8 million to strengthen the new nursing program at Barclay College. The legislation also restores funding for essential federal programs under the Departments of Veterans Affairs and Agriculture, including food assistance programs like SNAP and WIC. Senator Moran says the agreement is a step toward stability, but cautions that more work remains. Congress still needs to pass the remaining spending bills before the end of January to avoid another shutdown. As the federal government shutdown continues, millions of Americans are caught in the middle of a legal and political tug-of-war over food assistance. The U.S. Supreme Court and Congress are now at the center of the fight over whether full payment should resume for the SNAP program, which helps about 1 in 8 Americans buy groceries. The Trump administration stopped funding the program after October because of the shutdown, saying the money might be needed elsewhere. That decision triggered lawsuits and a series of conflicting court rulings that have left families across the country in very different situations. In some states, including Hawaii and New Jersey, SNAP recipients have received their full monthly benefits, In others, such as Nebraska and West Virginia, payments have been delayed or halted altogether. A few states have provided partial benefits while waiting for a final decision. Federal judges have issued competing orders over whether the administration must continue partial payments or restore full funding. An appeals court ruled this week that full benefits should resume, but that the order is on hold while the Supreme Court considers the administration's appeal. A decision could come as soon as Tuesday. Meanwhile, the Senate has approved a bipartisan deal to reopen the federal government, which would include restoring funding for SNAP. The measure now goes to the House, where lawmakers have been called back to Washington to debate the plan. It's unclear whether President Trump will sign it if it reaches his desk, though he's indicated that an end to the shutdown could be near. For now, the uncertainty means families who depend on SNAP remain in limbo. Some are scraping by on partial benefits or what's left in their pantries, waiting for relief that depends on both Congress and the courts. I'll be back with more news after this.
Join our stellar team at Norton County Hospital. Looking for a workplace where compassion meets career growth? Look no further. If you're ready to embark on a fulfilling journey surrounded by supportive colleagues and opportunities for personal and professional development, we want you to be part of our family. Explore exciting career offerings and our comprehensive range of benefits, including CAPERS, on the Career tab at ntcohosp.com.
Kansas Senator Roger Marshall says Republicans are preparing to unveil a new health care plan as Congress debates the future of the Affordable Care Act. While he hasn't said whether the House should hold a vote next month or on the ACA, Marshall emphasized that his focus is on reducing health care costs and giving patients more control over their care. He outlined several proposals aimed at reshaping how federal health care dollars are spent, including redirecting some of the $150 billion in annual insurance subsidies toward consumers through expanded health savings accounts and community health centers. He also pointed to tackling fraud with existing programs and rolling back pharmacy benefit manager, or PBM, fees as key priorities. Marshall said Republicans plan to introduce a new health care bill by December. The proposals would include measures for pricey trends. Marshall said Republicans plan to introduce a new health care bill by December. The proposal would include measures for price transparency, allowing patients to compare hospital costs and outcomes, as well as new high-risk and reinsurance pools in every state. He said the plan would also address support for people with pre-existing conditions and those whose premiums have increased under the current system. The Kansas senator, who has worked closely with House Speaker Mike Johnson on earlier versions of a health care proposal, confirmed he will vote against extending current ACA subsidies. Still, he says he hopes the plan can become part of a broader bipartisan talk before the next government funding deadline in January. Marshall's comments come as Republicans seek to reframe their health care agenda, arguing that the Affordable Care Act remains too costly and overly dependent on federal spending, while Democrats continue to defend the law as essential to providing affordable coverage for millions of Americans. Developmental Services of Northwest Kansas hosted its annual awards luncheon in Hays on October 21st. Awards were given throughout the afternoon to staff, persons served, and community members. The first awards of the afternoon were given to employees of DSNWK for their years of service. Those staff recognized and listed were Atwood, Amber Barnett, and Martrina Urban. From Hill City, Cynthia Bauer, Kelly Granger, and Don Powell. From Norton, Deirdre Nelson. Special recognition was also paid to three staff members for their outstanding work with persons with disabilities. April Lejeune of Atwood, Delene Reinhardt of Hays, and Dawn Rose of Russell were each presented with the Employee of the Year Award. A $100 scholarship award was presented to Alyssa Cole, who is attending Fort Hays State University. This award was given from the Geraldine Becker Memorial Scholarship Fund for employees studying in higher education in a field related to serving people with developmental disabilities. Several awards were given to individuals served by DSNWK for achievement through employment. Those receiving awards and listed by location are Atwood, Kelly Fisher and Judy Liker, Hill City, Alyssa Logue, and Val Straddle. DSNWK's newest awards recognize contractors through its shared living program. Those receiving awards for 1 year were Kiara Goodwin, Kimberly Griffith, Gloria Johnson, Tabitha Madden, Casey Whitley and Landon Williams of Goodland. DSNWK presented two individual achievement awards to individuals served by DSNWK. Ariana Austin Oder of Lucas and Jared Barnes of Hill City were presented these awards, which go each year to one youth and one adult who have shown tremendous individual progress throughout the year. Finally, DSNWK recognized two longtime advocates for DSNWK for their support with its Vision of Hope Awards, the Schoper family of Goodland and Connie Weber and the late Alan Weber of Oakley were honored. DSNWK paid tribute to them for their outstanding support over the years for those with intellectual and developmental disabilities. DSNWK is a 501c3 nonprofit serving 18 counties in Northwest Kansas with a mission to advocate for persons with disabilities and those who care about them by planning and supporting a life of dignity, interdependence, and personal satisfaction in the community. Graveside Inurnment for Dixie Haney, 90, of Norton, will be held at 1 p.m. Friday, November 14th at the Mount Hope Cemetery in Almena. Memorial contributions may be made to the Plumer Gobber Funeral Home, 215 West Main Street in Norton, to help with final expenses, and condolences may be left at plumergobber.com. I'm Joanna. Your KQNK News was brought to you by the Norton County Hospital. You can call Norton County Hospital at 785-877-3351 for all your health care needs.
Kansas Agriculture Network News.
Good day, everyone. I'm Greg Akagi. Of course, one of the things you see around this time of year, pumpkin pies. And pumpkins play such a big part during the holiday season, from ornamental decorations on Halloween to pumpkin pies during Thanksgiving and Christmas holidays. Pumpkins are a big part of family life. Nathan Johanning of the University of Illinois Extension Service says there are more types of pumpkins than people may realize. And that starts with research and development.
It's in multiple areas. A lot of it has to do with new varieties, especially when it gets in the realm of the ornamental side, which include the jack-o'-lanterns and any of our various colors. A lot of that happens within different seed companies all around the United States that supply seeds for the area. So a lot of that is they're working hard to breed and develop different varieties to give new colors, new things. I mean, we have pumpkins that are now a really golden yellow color. We didn't have that a few years ago. So that's a large part of it.
There are a lot of similarities between growing pumpkins and other types of commodities.
The University of Illinois, we host trials looking at varieties, but also we've looked at different ways to manage weeds, different conservation practices like utilizing cover crops and how that can be adopted into a pumpkin system and things like that. So there's a large gamut of things. We also have a plant pathologist in Champaign-Urbana that works exclusively on disease management. Pumpkins are susceptible to many diseases, including powdery mildew and others that can cause the leaves to die and the plant to die. There's things that can cause the fruits to rot.
The comments from Nathan Johanning of the University of Illinois Extension Service, talking about pumpkins, especially this time of year, from ornamental to Thanksgiving and Christmas holidays, when you are taking that slice of pie and eating it down with whipped cream on top. You're listening to Agriculture News on the Kansas Agriculture Network.
The Voice of Agriculture, Kansas Farm Bureau.
U.S. farmers and ranchers recently received some long-awaited positive trade news.
China has agreed to purchase 12 million metric tons of soybeans before January and at least 25 million metric tons annually for the next 3 years of soybeans. They've also said that they're going to resume purchases of other ag products, but no official announcements have been made. In addition, the United States has removed the Chinese port fees on any Chinese-owned and operated ships, so that should help tensions be relieved.
Faith Parham, an economist with Farm Bureau, says there were also smaller deals, including agreements with Malaysia, Cambodia, Thailand, and Vietnam. And that's all good news, but the overall ag economy outlook is still challenging.
There's still some uncertainty when we talk about agricultural trade, and that makes it harder for farmers to plan and make decisions.
Listen again here for more from the Voice of Agriculture, Kansas Farm Bureau.
Kansas Agriculture Network weather.
I'm meteorologist Michael Caron, the Kansas Agriculture Network. As a warm frontal boundary looks to work from west to east across the state of Kansas here for this afternoon, we're back to some above average temperatures, not only for this afternoon, but for much of the remainder of the work week as well. And a fairly dry and sunny forecast expected over the next several days as an upper level ridge of high pressure dominates our weather pattern. And that upper level ridge largely keeps that main storm track well off to the north, thus the dry forecast through the end of the work week. By later on this upcoming weekend, though, expecting an upper level low pressure system to gradually push northeastward onto the Four Corners region, which could bring some rain chances by later on Sunday into your Sunday night and Monday time frame, with a gradual cooling trend as we head into the start of the new work week. For northwest Kansas for this afternoon, we'll see a good deal of sunshine with high temperatures in the low to mid-70s. Winds becoming breezy out of the north, increasing to 15 to 25. For north-central Kansas, becoming mostly sunny with high temperatures reaching up into the lower 70s. We'll have our winds turning to the north at 5 to 15. Into northeastern Kansas for this afternoon, clearing skies, high temperatures in the lower to middle 60s. With our winds turning to the west and northwest at 5 to 15. Into southeastern Kansas for this afternoon, gradually clearing skies with mid-60s for high temperatures, with our winds out of the south and southwest at 10 to 20. Into south-central Kansas for this afternoon, becoming mostly sunny with high temperatures looking to reach up into the upper 60s to lower 70s, with our winds eventually turning more to the north at 5 to 15. And for southwestern Kansas, a good deal of sunshine with mid-70s for high temperatures, winds turning to the north at 10 to 15 miles per hour. This is the Kansas Ag Network.
I was in the hospital with my son for 18 months.
When he got injured, I wasn't prepared, but I knew I had to be strong.
When I was told about John's injury, I was in complete shock. I just remember rushing into his room and giving him a big hug and letting him know I was there.
These veterans and families are just a few of the heroes we serve at Homes for Our Troops. For thousands of severely injured veterans, everyday life is filled with barriers.
It was really the little things throughout the house.
Counters that you can't roll up to.
I had to drag my wheelchair down steps.
I want to help, but he is so determined.
At Homes for Our Troops, we build specially adapted custom homes with features like wheelchair access, roll-in showers, and automatic door openers that allow them to function independently and focus on their recovery and family.
This house is freedom.
It's hope. It's a new beginning.
This house has given me my family back.
To learn more, visit hfotusa.org.